In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest former rivalry in sports. We got to rename the podcast.
Seriously.
Brian Shackman, John Senecal here. I mean, let's face it. You're excited.
It's true, though. It used to be the greatest rivalry in sports, and now it's like a team that wants to win all the time and a team that doesn't know what they want to do.
Well, it's bizarre, and I'll tell you why. Like back, you don't even remember like Lou Gorman, who was the GM of the Red Sox before the new ownership came in the new millennium. And what I wanted to say was, like, one of my friends was a lawyer for the Red Sox in the transition from the old ownership, the Yankees, to the John Henry and Tom Werner and all those folks. And I remember going in the office, and it was one wall was all manila folders of like paper files, like up to the technology was terrible. And it was like, it was so. And it was kind of a joke,
yeah.
Right? And then they come in and, you know, they hire incredible young talent. They get after it. They win 4 World Series. And then this shift has happened. And we can talk about what's behind it. And we'll talk about Devers in a second. But I've had people in Boston who've been in the media and in the business for more than those 25 years and said that it feels worse than before the owners were there. And
wow.
when I hear that, that's messed up.
Yeah.
Even when the Red Sox, 86 was sort of like, was kind of an anomaly. I mean, they were a very, very average franchise in general. And now they're not even average. And so I just, before I get to Devers, like, what does it look like? Because I listen to Boston sports radio a ton. So I glean a ton of stuff from both my perspective and living here in Connecticut, friends across the country, but also I very much have a sense of how people feel in Boston. How do you view it?
Well, I mean, as a Yankee fan, I like the viewing because it's.
But do you like to? Wouldn't you like to have some?
Well, I like the fact that, you know, there could be a good rivalry, like the history of the team, right? That's great because then you know you're like it's always going to be a good game. But in the same time, it's like the division has become so damn competitive that you don't mind having a team that you don't think on paper is competitive, right? And regardless of what happens in the season coming up, right? If you're another team, it'd be nice to walk in there looking at like the team's going to roll over, right? And you'll be able to walk right through the series. But yeah, there's something to be said about the rivalry.
But how do you look at the situation? Like when you
look at it as a team that, I mean, how many other teams have won 4 World Series in the last 20 years? And
none.
All of a sudden they're a joke. They're literally like the joke
but
of
that's,
Major
that's
League
what
Baseball.
I'm asking. Are they, like from your vantage point, are they a joke?
Yes. Yes, because they did nothing to improve that team. What did they do to improve the Red Sox?
Nothing.
They traded their one pitcher that anybody really cares about, even though he wasn't really that great. But they traded into a team that's a contender, that he's going to be in the headlines regardless. And then they have a marquee player who's coming out and just basically saying, why haven't you done what everybody wants you to do and everybody knows you have to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're $20 million under last year's payroll.
And they can
payroll.
Say all they want about, like, there's nothing out there, but there's two great pitchers out there.
Well, you have Jordan Montgomery, whose wife, you know, is in Boston.
And I'm sure that offering, the availability is there, and the contract is down. Like, if the Red Sox are looking to spend a ton of money over a long-term deal, I don't think they need to do that. They could probably get these guys for 3-year contracts without clauses. Get creative. Figure it out. I mean, I'd love to see the Yankees get creative and grab Snell or Montgomery.
But why? Okay. I want to ask you, not here, about why those guys aren't signed by somebody else, though. But, you know, Rafael Devers, if people didn't know, you know, he was very sort of as direct as he's ever been. Maybe he feels protected by the long-term contract. Maybe he feels protected by his status as an all-star. Maybe he felt a little protected by the language barrier. But he basically said, you know, everyone knows the Red Sox needed to do more and didn't. And he said, we want to win and we don't understand it. And he basically implied it needs to change. And the talk of the town since then has been that the translator kind of protected him a little bit in the sense that it actually was a little bit
harsher.
Stronger. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm wondering why, like you said, he's he should be talking out. Like, he shouldn't have to be worried about what the Red Sox
I
think
welcomed
about him.
It. I think it's – you're right. I mean, he should be able to be honest about it.
The Red Sox should expect
it.
I mean, honestly, the Red Sox should expect for him to be talking out. He is the one thing they can hang their hat on. I mean, yeah, you got Yamamoto, but it's like – not Yamamoto. Yoshida, but still, it's like, that's your guy. You signed him to a long-term deal. That's who you're invested in. And if you don't want him to start demanding a trade in, at the middle of the season, which, who knows, they could probably totally trade him if they're going to go the route they are. But still, it's like, I would expect Rafael Devers to be pissed.
See, I wouldn't be. I guess, I don't know. He's a hard read because he doesn't communicate, you know, a lot.
I mean, his press conference was live, right? I mean, obviously somebody that speaks Spanish knows what he said.
No, but I guess, you know, he's never delved in this way. Like, if Bogarts did it, you know, he was a leader. Like, people have really wondered whether Devers just
can
a good player.
Role, right?
Like, even though he's a big contract guy, doesn't mean he's a leader or he's going to be vocal, because he's never been that way in the past. So from my perspective, it was surprising because I didn't think he would. I didn't think he'd editorialize. I didn't think he'd come out with an opinion.
Maybe that's why they got rid of Verdugo, because they knew he'd be the one that'd be yapping.
Well, it turns out it sounds like Verdugo wasn't great in the clubhouse, you know, and the fans loved him, but maybe he wasn't.
I just don't get it,
thing.
Dude. I really don't.
Here's the thing. We've talked about this before. Like, whether they're stripping it down to sell it or what, I don't know what it is either, but the thing that's different, I think the fact that I was so surprised that Devers spoke out against it shows you that he felt he had some cover to do it. And that's what I wonder now, if there's real organizational tension over what's happening. Because to be honest, if they signed Snell and Montgomery, if they signed Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, that would be a significant shift that would be meaningful. But if they signed just one of them, it doesn't make the team any better. So, like, it doesn't make sense for them to do it unless he gets a real bargain, like a 3-year deal with a 1-year club out. You know what I mean? Give them 1 year, they're $20 million under last year's payroll. I mean, that's insane. You can't find me a team that's got spending less money than they did the year before.
Right, that has the money to do it too.
So one player's not going to change the formula for the Red Sox season. It's just not. Jordan Montgomery's not going to make them a contender.
But it's what they need, regardless if it's Montgomery or Snell or Bauer or whoever. You know, I mean, it's very thin.
They're not signing Bauer,
right? But it's very thin what's out there, right? Like, it's thin. Like, if you're, like you said, you don't think they're going to win with one of them. Like, they need two of them. They're going to need to get really creative if they're not going to get either of them, right? But they need to do something. Like, if your star player is calling you out at this stage of the game and you still have guys available and you have time to make that happen before the season, they got to do something.
I don't think so.
Then it's the wrong message to their star player, their players, their organization, and their fans. It's just the wrong message.
But that damage is already, I guess my point is that message is already received.
Well,
the damage is done.
Their bridges then. Now they burned Devers' bridge. They've burned them all up to him, and now they've burned their best player's bridge.
So
they'll trade him to the Yankees in July.
If they got rid of Devers, which I don't think they will.
The third baseman.
Who's there now?
DJ, but he's always got that toe.
Yeah, LeMahieu I like. Although I do want to talk about Judge for a second, because he said something that was really interesting to me. But I don't think that signing one of these guys does anything that sends a more positive message. And they don't want to spend $25 million a year just to, you know, make things seem a little better. I don't know that they would buckle under it. And
then they'll just hope it goes away.
I think they're hoping that they get lucky and like guys like Casas play out of their heads.
They still need the pitching, though. I mean, they just need the pitching. Everybody needs pitching, and they just don't have it. They don't have it. Unless these guys just go so above the line.
Yeah, I mean, Whitlock has the potential to be great. But, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I just don't know what the purpose is. I don't understand why, when it's so obvious the fan base is so down, they're so irrelevant right now. They've never been this.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so dramatic
it really
to me
sucks.
How irrelevant the franchise is. And I'm not going
to
belabor.
It's funny you said it off the top of the podcast, because I was talking to someone from New York the other day that has some affiliation with MLB Network. And I told him about our podcast. And he goes, oh, man, you should probably change the name of that.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, well, it's kind of morphed into more than just the Yankees Red Sox.
Right.
But it's still at the same time. It's like, come on, get with the program, Boston. Let's
they
go.
Compete. I know. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. It's the 142nd edition of Fan Base. A deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. But, you know, let's move on to some other things. You know, we'll talk about spring training a little bit, and we'll tick through spring training, and then we want to talk about the uniforms with Fanatics. Aaron Judge comes out and says he'll always have to sort of deal with the toe. And when he said that, I was stunned.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, Aaron Judge is 32 years old.
But if it's almost like the thorn in the lion's paw or whatever. It's amazing to me that this toe injury might
nag
the thing that or derails his greatness.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a big dude. He has a lot of weight to support, and he's got a big frame, and he's his age. I mean, if it's something that he never got fixed, right? He never got surgery or anything on it. He just had it heal on itself. I would imagine that it's going to bother him. I mean, maybe they have to do some scar tissue. I'm not obviously up to
Do we know what the heck it was?
I think he just
broke his toe,
like a ligament. He tore a ligament in his toe or whatever. Yeah, but it's like it was his planting, his rear foot, right, his right foot, and he had to push off it. So I mean, it is what it is, dude. It is.
You can't just say that. I mean, this could be something that really, really.
Well, I think if they needed, if they needed to do surgery on it to fix it, they would have done it. So they've done their due diligence, and they probably are. I'm sure they've done a lot more thinking about it than
But when he comes out and says this is something I'm going to be dealing with,
I just think it's something to talk about.
Really?
I mean, someone probably asked him the question.
I think you're underplaying it.
I think someone asked him the question because they need to ask him something. Because I mean, what are they talking about at Yankees camp right now other than Soto?
But I don't know.
I mean, we got to talk about something. Nobody's hurt. There's no controversy. There's nothing going on. So they're going to ask him something. So, how's the toe? It's something I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life. Well, yeah. I had thumb surgery. That's something I'm going to have to deal with the rest of my life. I was 30-something when I did it.
I didn't see the clip, so I don't know the context, so I can't judge that.
I don't either. That's my take.
Right.
I mean, you better in the locker room, dude. They ask stupid questions.
So
Judge, he's talking. Let's ask him about his toe.
My impression is, listen, the toe, it's something I might have to deal with my whole career.
We just went from Rafael Devers banging his organization to talking about some bullshit question about Aaron Judge's toe.
I don't know if it's such a BS question. I mean, what if this is a problem for him forever?
I hope you, in some case, that I get to eat crow on this, but I just think it's a joke that we're talking about his toe.
Okay.
We're talking about toes.
We're talking about practice.
Come on.
All right. I hope you're right for your sake, because when somebody says something like that, I think it's a front for a possible problem.
First of all, you kind of blindsided me with this toe thing, because I think I would have been up on it if it was a big deal. All I'm picturing is some like busted reporter in there that's either some rook in there or just somebody that's just like, oh, we got to get something out of something, And I asked him about his toe, and he was just like, yeah, I deal with the rest of my life.
I mean, it speaks to our professionalism that I read the quotation, but didn't hear the soundbite. Listen, let's go to
that's part of the hill. That's part of the process.
I think that
maybe it was AI generated.
I think we should put a little, what do they call it, a marker here, because it might end up being something casual about.
Spoken in the truer. We'll have to circle back.
So let's go back to Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, because I don't really understand, there's no other teams that want to sign these guys. You got a lefty who's all-star caliber when he's at his best. And, Snell is, I know he's got some wear on the tires, but.
They'll blame it all on an agent right now, right? They'll blame it on the Boris.
Are they both Boris?
They're all Boris. Everyone that's basically remaining. Belly, Snell, Montgomery. I don't know if JD Martinez is, but all the big names left are all Boris clients. And that's what they'll say. I mean, these guys are going to have a job somewhere, but listen. Games start today as we speak. There's games starting today.
Thursday. You always do this.
I'm sorry. Thursday, game start. And we're literally a month away from the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, to me, in terms of getting ready, it's a problem because the track record of people reporting late and doing well in the season isn't great.
I mean,
it's already, in my opinion, it's already a problem for them.
Yeah, it's going to go down there. Obviously, the length of contract, regardless of what Scott Boris, who he is. He's not going to get these guys a 6 or 7 year deal unless it's with some team that's very desperate.
But obviously if they're desperate, the teams that are in the running here, they're waiting for the price to just keep going down.
Yeah.
And that's all they're doing.
That's why I'm surprised it hasn't turned into what Bauer got with the Dodgers going into his contract with them, which was basically an out clause every year at $30 million a year.
Right.
Right. I'm surprised it hasn't turned into that because if I was a player, I would, come on, you're going to make $30 million, that season and be able to walk the next year or stick around and make another $30 million? I mean, if you're getting that deal, why wouldn't you take it at this stage of the game? You don't have a job.
I totally agree. I
can't believe JD Martinez doesn't have a job. I am shocked.
He's a jerk.
But that dude can hit. Why isn't like Cincinnati Reds got him? He could replace Joey Votto in that clubhouse.
Yes, but the thing, well, he couldn't replace Joey Votto.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
But he would be replace him by more at bat. He's a veteran presence.
Oh, man, you stick him on that team. That team is scary.
But obviously, it's a price that they can or won't pay, right? So it's pretty easy that there's maybe five or six teams. The Reds are a great example that maybe. Or even like the Orioles or something, like, you know,
yeah.
who really could use him, but he's $5 or $6 million over their budget.
The Orioles, I mean, Kyle Bradish is having issues. We know John Means isn't going to start the season.
I can't believe that.
Listen, there's issues with this guy. Like,
he missed the entire year. Listen, I saw him on opening day 2 years ago, and he totally handcuffed
the Sox. Why aren't they pursuing these guys?
I don't know, because I think the window, as young as they are, they got a new owner with some appetite. If I were the Orioles, to be honest with you, I would put everything on the table.
Yeah, I mean, they technically don't have the new owner yet, but I'm sure there's going to be backdoor deals worked out to get these guys in the clubhouse.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, Jesus, Baltimore, figure it out. I mean, those guys would be great there with the longer porch and left field. I mean, I would be going all in on Montgomery. I mean, Snell is just a big question mark with his walks and everything. You can say whatever you want. You know, good year, 2 years, bad year, next year, blah, blah, blah. He's won two Cy Youngs. You don't go out and win two Cy Youngs and not know how to pitch. I mean, that's just how it is. Like, you take the good, you take the bad, right, with him. But Montgomery, I would say, is going to be more reliable, like day in and day out, and he'd fit perfect there. But I don't get it. Maybe they're all going to just wait literally until the last second.
The longer you wait, the worse it is for the player, and the crack in the armor will be if one of these guys bails on Boris.
And you need to get them in the clubhouse. I mean, let's be honest. You need to get those guys in your clubhouse. If you want to start building a championship team, they got to be in the clubhouse.
Yeah. And then
they got to be ready to go. They can't be like, oh, well, he's going to start.
Extended spring training.
Right. He's going to start down there and be ready May 1st or end of April. That doesn't.
The podcast will drop and they'll sign a half
of course,
an
they
later.
Just say Montgomery, Snell, Martinez, everyone just sign.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Schackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. You know, I didn't do a deep dive into the uniforms. I know that the players aren't happy. I know Fanatics is the supplier. And the only thing I'll have to say about it is I don't understand. The Fanatics guys, they're billionaires now, and they're into sports betting.
Everything.
They own teams, right? I mean, yeah. Isn't the owner?
Well, they've been supplying the jerseys since 2017. It's not so much the supplier. It's the new jersey and the new way of the jersey.
Well, first of all, I want you to get into detail. That all I'll say is that the few times I've ordered from Fanatics, it's been crap.
Yeah.
Like, the product's been crap, and the service has been crap.
Oh, even with this handling fee? Not like free shipping, but you always get some fee.
Shirts have not been like
as good as they should
no.
be.
No. And, right. And so I'm wondering.
Now, are you talking like jersey stuff or like the Fanatics branded stuff? Like if you got like a Red Sox hoodie and it was Fanatics branded instead of like a Nike brand or.
I think it was Fanatics.
Yeah. And I agree 100%. I stopped after the first year that came out with the Fanatics brand. I gave up on that.
It's terrible.
It sucked.
So what is the deal with the jerseys? They're made of a material that's really scratchy.
So it's a new jersey. I believe it's like the Nike Vapor Premier, like Elite or something like that. So it's a whole new.
It's like wicking. Is it like?
Yeah, it's like a breathable wicking, but there's no more stitched on like logos. There's no more stitched on names. It's all just ironed on stuff.
Oh, so it looks cheap.
So basically, I think what they're selling it as is like a more aerodynamic,
modern,
not as heavy, right. No stitching, that kind of like
So
sweat,
what's the problem then?
Well, the problem is they're like ripping. You can see through the pants. They look low rent. I mean, one player said it looked like he got it off a rack at TJ Maxx from the Orioles.
That's what we do.
That's right. That's what we just got done saying, right? Like, we just got done talking about it. Like, how it's just, I mean, what are you going to say about something when an actual player comes out and says it looks like it came off a rack at TJ Maxx? And these things are going for like $450 a piece. Now, what's going to happen when they heat press these names? And the logos, like the team logos on the front, some guy's going to go head first into second base, and the Orioles is going to slide off the front.
It's going to be a rainy day. You make a chest catch in center field.
Right.
And the O is off.
And you come up to bat, and the O is off Otani's name in the back. I just don't. Listen.
What are they going to do? Are they going to redo them all?
So Rob Manfred came out and was basically said, we went with a premier supplier with Nike, blah, blah, blah. And Tony Clark and the Players Union came out and was basically saying, oh, no, there's a learning process. Hopefully they'll get used to it or they'll figure it out before opening day. But listen, come on. It's low rent. let's be honest, it's low rent. First of all, if you're gonna fit premier athletes in this stuff, right, and put them on the field and hope it all works out, not when you guys, when you got cameras that are literally, you got a fingernail going into second base and they could tell the difference.
Right.
When that stuff starts falling apart and it's in the dugout or it's getting ripped or it's falling off in the back or it just looks so low rent, they're going to be showing it.
I can't wait.
They're going to be showing it. And the other thing is you're going to charge a fan $450 for that piece of crap. If you got players saying it sucks and then you're going to turn it into the fans, it's not a good look for Major League Baseball or Fanatics or Nike.
In general, maybe this is my cynicism about this. I'm going opening day, right? And then I'm going double
A.
You
caved?
Yeah. But I didn't get it in our section. I got in the bleachers. I'm going opening day. And then outside of like StubHub $8 seats when I can take the boys.
Right.
I'm going double A yard goats all summer long.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to have a regret in the world.
The best thing about the yard goats is you get to see these players.
By the way, they're the double A affiliate of the Colorado Rockies in Hartford, Connecticut.
But they play good teams. They play Yankee minor leagues. They play the Boston minor leagues. They play the Mets minor leagues. They play the Blue Jays, I believe, minor leagues. So it's a lot of the AL East. But they get some great talent that comes.
Well, they have like six or eight guys that are on the Rocky roster right now.
And it's usually a quick flip.
Yeah, they were spinning within the last 2 to 3 years.
It's a quick flip. So it's good baseball. It's a great stadium. It looks great. It looks like you're in a major league park without an upper deck. I mean, when you think about it.
And the management are really.
And it's Hartford, baby.
Yeah.
Hartford has it.
It might be all Hartford has. And I'm a cheerleader for Hartford.
I just did
Hartford.
Some trademark infringement from like 1995 by saying
that was their catchphrase.
Hartford has it.
Yeah. Hartford.
Remember New England's Rising Star?
Oh, of course.
Are we still New England's Rising Star?
I don't think so.
No.
I do a lot of stuff with the Greater Hartford Alliance, and they don't say that anymore.
They don't say that anymore. So someone just freaked out over that.
We'll talk to you next time on Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.